Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello and welcome to Shrumper 99.94 Cricket Every Day. My name is Mark Machado from the Mirror End, and I'm joined, as always, by Estelle Varzi Devon from the Papero. Shrumper 99.94 is your new home for Shrumper content. We'll be dropping into your podcast feed on YouTube and the 99.94 app several times every week. So please do rate, review and subscribe. Thank you for joining Cricket's conversation. Today, Estelle, we are looking back at the Super Fours Women's T20 tournament that was recently concluded in Sri Lanka. The reason for this is because, of course, the Women's T20 World Cup started in South Africa this February. Let's get your initial impressions. I mean, it's great to see Sri Lankan women's cricket back playing again, but I'll be honest, they've been playing quite a bit this year. We've kind of moved on from, isn't it great that they're playing, to, right, how's this team improving? Who's coming through? What are the players to watch? What's the pathways? And almost more importantly than all of that, how are we going to get those big scores on?
Yeah, when you talk about the big scores, I think that's the big question for Sri Lanka cricket going forward. Like you said, they've got a lot of competition going on throughout this year. They've had a couple of tournaments. But like we discussed in the 50-over, after the 50-over competition as well, I'm not entirely sure how much of an impact like a 5 to 6 day tournament really has, or how much you can do within that time period. But nevertheless, I mean, it's good that it's happening. The runs are a big concern. I think if I'm not mistaken, I think the highest score was something like 123 in the entire tournament. There were a lot of rain interruptions, bad weather in Colombo, but still, that is exactly the problem Sri Lanka has when they go into the international arena. They're not able to get big enough totals to challenge some of the other teams that are higher ranked. So that issue continues. So I don't know. I'm interested to see if it's addressed at some point, because I don't think those are the type of scores that are going to win you games in South Africa in a couple of months.
No, I agree. And especially if these are the scores that we're getting on pitches that these girls have been brought up on, when they go to slightly, you know, more foreign climes, what kind of scores can we expect from there? I mean, earlier in the year, we did quite well in the Asia Cup in Bangladesh. But really, when you look at it, we did quite well defending really low scores. And in some ways, that's a great skill to have. And you just think, if we can find runs from somewhere and not be overly reliant on one or two players at the top of the order making the runs, then you think we could actually be like move up the kind of competitive rankings. Because I think at the moment, there's not a huge amount of teams around the world who are looking at us with any sort of fear and trepidation, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a lot of different areas that need to be addressed. If you just look at the Indian side, who have become really, really competitive in the last couple of years, obviously they have much better resources. Not perfect, but they've got better resources when compared to Sri Lanka. And, you know, the fast bowlers they've got, the girls they've got who are able to, you know, take on the bowling and score at more than a runner ball, that those are the two areas that they have really grown in the last few years, right? And that's just something that's not happening for Sri Lanka. I think if you look at the top scorers in this tournament that concluded, I don't think it'll come as any surprise, but Chamari Athapattu is the only one scoring at, you know, an acceptable kind of T20 rate. I think her strike rate was 170 plus. Neelakshi De Silva was around 100. She also had a good tournament. What happens with the strike rate, obviously, is that it's averaged out. So the knocks that she did get run, she's been scoring at a good rate. So apart from those two, Sri Lanka haven't been, you know, scoring runs at a good pace either. And the other thing is the fast bowlers, right? This time around, you have a couple of left-armers in that top five wicket takers. But if you look at Sri Lanka's, the teams they've fielded in the international arena over the last couple of years, you rarely get two fast bowlers, like proper fast bowlers in the lineup. It's always one, either Udeshika Prabodhini or Achinikula Surya, and then like five or six different spinners. And like you mentioned, in conditions like Bangladesh, that works because their conditions are also, I won't say similar to Sri Lanka, but very much favoring the spinners. And, you know, there isn't much bounce, or you don't expect teams to score 150 plus often. But that's not where Sri Lanka play a lot of their cricket, or where a lot of successful teams play, right? So if you want to be competitive, then you're going to have to, you know, raise your game in those areas. And it's difficult when you're not given those kind of conditions in Sri Lanka. So I don't know. It's there are definitely positives in terms of how the team is going, has been throughout this year. But lots and lots of changes need to come into play if Sri Lanka want to be competitive with at least maybe not Australia, England, India for now, but at least with the other, like the second tier teams like West Indies, South Africa. I'm sorry, South Africa is not a second tier team, but yeah.
I love, there's a few of the South African women play in the Women's 100, and they are absolutely unbelievable. Van Niekerk and, well, Lizelle Lee, but she's obviously retired from women's cricket, so I don't think we'll see her at the World Cup, but unless something changes. Did we see the emergence of a new star in this tournament, though? Because the top wicket taker was Tharushi Rajakaruna. What can you tell us about her?
Again, like we discussed in the 50-over competition, I can't tell you much. I know that she's an off-spinner. Didn't feature in the 50-over competition, which is surprising. But she seemed to have a knack of picking up wickets. It's difficult to say without having, you know, been at the venue, and, you know, there isn't much access to these games apart from the scorecards and stuff. So it's difficult to say. But it's encouraging, I think, to see some new names come up in tournaments like this. And that's why they need to play, right? Because you get to see some of the newer girls. You don't want to have team that's failing, continuously fail and not have any new people coming in. So, yeah, it's encouraging to see. I hope that maybe she gets a run in the domestic competitions during the next year. And hopefully we see better competition in the sense that we have tournaments that give players a real opportunity to showcase what they can do instead of having like 5 to 6 day competitions.
We'll talk about the fact that the visibility for this tournament was very low. I want to ask about Charmery though, because she missed the 50 over competition mainly to play the Women's Big Bash. She is the one absolute world-class star that Sri Lankan cricket have in the women's game. Does her inclusion in the tournament, did that bring, you know, people, did that pique people's interest in it? I say, did that make people interested in it? But obviously, it's difficult to be interested in a product that you can't really see. But were people talking about the fact that she was playing? Did that get people going?
I think she's obviously one of the names that gets people's attention. Just like, not to divert from the topic, but like my dad at the moment is watching a rerun of a women's Big Bash game, right? And he's only able to do that because that's on TV. It's very much that, you know, build it and they will come. If there is more access to these games, if it's marketed properly, if they're able to give these players the resources to play a better or more entertaining brand of cricket, it is something that will grow. And we've seen that around the world, right? The T20s against between India and Australia sold out 40,000 people. That is the capacity of our Premadasa, right? So it is a product that you can, but you have to invest in it and you have to build it. You can't just, you know, give them the bare minimum. and expect it to organically grow like that. But to your point, yeah, I think Atapattu's name definitely is one that gets people a little more interested. She has a lot of support overall. I think she's converted a lot of fans who probably didn't, you know, weren't interested in women's cricket. She's converted a lot of them, I think.
This time next year, I think it's around this time next year. Obviously, dates haven't been released. Am I right in thinking that will be around the time that this women's T10, well, and men's, but the T10 league will be starting? And the idea for that is to bring in as many big names as they can, right?
I'm hearing also that it might be overseas players might be limited to 4 to 5, which is not how the T10 competition in Dubai is played, right? If I'm not mistaken. So I don't know. It'll be good if we can bring down some of the big stars. And I think more importantly, I really hope we get to see at least 3 to 4 players get into IPL squads, because that'll be a massive experience, I think, for some of them. Atapattu obviously has played around the world, but she hasn't had too much success in any of the leagues that she's played. Obviously, the women's IPL has kind of been an exhibition tournament up to now. But it'll be good if Sri Lanka can draw in some of those big names, because obviously that'll bring a lot of interest. The women's game, like I said, it's on TV, right, in Sri Lanka. So even if you don't see local players, you're exposed to the Elise Perrys, the Harmanpreet Kaurs, all of them. So I think if some big names, Sri Lanka cricket are able to draw some of those big names, then definitely there'll be a lot of interest.
And in the 100, at least, they've been able to, that's my favourite reference, because obviously I live in the UK. It's also something I've covered quite a lot as well. They've been able to, unlike the men's franchise leagues, they've been able to get the top Indian players over as well, which I think could be huge if Sri Lanka and that T10 league were able to do it for the league in terms of drawing an audience, right? Let's take a quick break, Estelle. When we come back, let's look a little bit more into this tournament, and also then let's at some stage start looking ahead to February and how Sri Lanka's preparations for this World Cup are lining up.
I'm Jared Kimber, and I host two podcasts on 99.94. Red Inca, which is chats on trends and stories within the game, with a weekly Q&A where I can be asked about anything from a time-travelling Don Bradman to which cricket ground serves the best food. And Double Century, a look at the historical stories that make cricket what it is today. You can search for either of them in your favourite podcast platform or on the 99.94 DM app.
So, Estelle, We've had the 50-over tournament. We've had a reasonable amount of cricket being played now for women's cricket. We've talked about the lack of visibility for this particular tournament. That's very frustrating. In your opinion, what needs to happen? And we also talked about how T10, there's this professional T10 league starting as well. But what needs to happen in terms of, you know, creating stronger pathways and getting these players to be more competitive on a world stage for Sri Lanka? Are we heading in the right direction, or would you like to see more?
I would like to see more, of course. I think, to be honest, I think Sri Lanka's growth in the game is not going to happen in the next couple of years, if it does happen. There needs to be a lot of investment in schools level, is my opinion, because that's where you're getting your players, right? At the moment, what happens is at schools level, when you do well, you maybe play for, if you happen to be in a school that plays leather ball cricket, because not every school plays. I think we've discussed it before. It's not like the boys' side of things. Not a lot of girls' schools play leather ball cricket, particularly in Colombo. So you need to get girls playing cricket. And again, another step, like, one of the keys to that is making it visible, making it accessible, in the sense that, you know, when you see players on TV, if I'm being honest, I don't think it even like occurred to me that a women's team existed in Sri Lanka until 2013, right? Until we saw them on TV beating India, beating England, right? So if we are to inspire the next generation of talent, then they need to see those players on TV. They need to see, like, they need to be exposed to those players a lot. And schools level needs a lot of investment. I think more schools need to be encouraged to play. Resources need to be allocated to those schools. I think that is happening to a certain degree, but maybe it can be fast-tracked. And from there, the domestic system needs to be built. At the moment, what happens is, and I think I've mentioned this before as well, basically when you're in school, you either play for the Coles Cricket Club or you play for Chilaumerians or whatever little clubs. There are kind of private clubs. But then as soon as you leave school, most of the girls want to join one of the forces. So Army, Navy, Air Force are the big three teams in Sri Lanka. And most girls want to join those school, join those teams or cricket clubs because they get paid a monthly wage, right? It's basically you're given a job and part of your job is also to play cricket. So like I mentioned, cricket isn't played a lot in Colombo schools for girls. So a lot of these girls come from rural areas of Sri Lanka. So financially, it's the best option to go into, get into one of the forces, right? But what happens then is it's very kind of, you have maybe the forces second team or the B team is probably better than Coles Cricket Club. And also what's sad to see, and I saw this firsthand, is that Coles Cricket Club or their schools, coaches build these players up. Coles invests in them. And then they leave to join one of the forces. Which you can't blame the players, obviously, because it's a financial incentive that it's not like you're getting paid anything at some of these private clubs. So that imbalance needs to be addressed, I think. Because what happens is sometimes you go into the forces and you don't even make their B team. And then you're, you know, warming the bench, whereas you could have been playing if you were in one of the private clubs. So that is definitely something that needs to be addressed.
Can I ask you a slightly personal question, Estelle? You said that you weren't aware of a women's team till 2013. When you were growing up, and obviously at 2013, I don't want to, you know, I shouldn't reveal too much of personal details about you. You were still the very young girl. But when, you know, pre that, what was your, did you even consider that women can play cricket in Sri Lanka, that, you know, there was any way into playing it beyond playing in the garden or playing with friends on the beach or something like that? Did it? And also on top of that, when this women's team emerges, what were your initial thoughts? That must have been quite a moment, right? Because I know you're very you're obsessed by not just cricket, but, you know, netball, football, a lot of other sports as well, right?
Yeah. So I don't think, I mean, I can't obviously recall anything specific, but I don't think we were aware while we were schooling that there could be something like this. I always tell my dad, because my dad is the one who got me into every sport, right? You know, we grew up with posters of Pete Sampras, Michael Johnson, Alan Donald on our walls, right? So I always tell him that if we had known that you can go to this club and play cricket, he would have enrolled me in a heartbeat. I know that for sure because he was the one who used to push me to do sport and, you know, any sport, whatever it was. So I don't think there was that kind of awareness at that time that you can, this is something that you can pursue, which is something that's changing now, definitely. Because, I mean, I've spoken to Shashikala Sirivadana, she coaches at the Mercantile Cricket Association. She has a kind of a academy. And she's told me how, like, the numbers have grown so much over the past couple of years. So that's definitely a very encouraging sign. Again, it's about visibility, right? When you see these things happen. And, like, when you ask me, I'm thinking about it, like, 2013, the World Cup happened. I think it was 2013 or 2014 where I just enrolled at Colts to play. I mean, I hadn't played any leather ball cricket or any hardball cricket or any competitive cricket up till then. But after that, so that's the impact it has, right? When you see it happening. Obviously, I had at that point it was too late for me to kind of pursue it as a career. But I can only imagine how many youngsters, or, you know, maybe even kids who are playing for, not kids, but some of the girls playing for the national team now, were inspired by that moment in or those games in 2013 to really pursue cricket as a career.
Let's take a quick break, Estelle. When we get back, I want to talk about this World Cup in February and how Sri Lanka are getting prepared for it.
Hi, I'm Nikesh Raghani, commentator and host of the India on 99.94 podcast. Several times each week, my co-host Sara Waris and I will be bringing you the very best in Indian cricket chat, whether we're discussing the legend of Julan Goswami, KL Rahul's strike rate, the men's T20 death bowling woes, or the latest controversy involving the BCCI. We've got you covered. You can listen and subscribe via your usual podcast provider. Just search for India on 99.94. You can watch us via YouTube and you can download the 99.94 app. If you love Indian cricket, then join our conversation.
So Estelle, we've talked about the domestic T20 that they've just held. We've talked about pathways into the game. We've also been lucky enough to get your insight into what it was like for you growing up as a cricket fan and woman in Sri Lanka. There is this tournament coming up in South Africa. Sri Lanka are qualified. They will be going to it. Where exactly are Sri Lanka's preparations right now? Because I heard a rumour that we currently have no head coach in place.
Yeah, so Hashan Tilakaratna resigned at the end of the Asia Cup. So there isn't a head coach in place. They're currently in the High Performance Centre at the R. Premadasa. So they're in training. I met a couple of the girls a few days ago. So there's a big pool of maybe 30 to 35 players in training there. That'll be the preparation, I guess. I think January might see Sri Lanka travelling to Bangladesh for three ODIs and three T20s, which is either they travel or they Bangladesh come here, one of the other. But which I guess is good because Bangladesh is a team that is kind of on Sri Lanka's level. So it'll be good preparation. We also saw the men's fielding coach, Anton Roo, training the players, just teaching the basics and stuff like that. So that's also good to see. I'm sure some of the players who haven't featured in the national squad before or kind of new to the High Performance Centre would have appreciated that. But it's not ideal, right? 2 months out.
Yeah, so if there's no head coach, who is waking up in the morning and going, right, this is what we're working on today, this is what the plan is, this is what we need to... Look, I understand that in SLC they employ a number of coaches and there's people with a number of specialisms. But I think what we're, in real terms, we're like 6 weeks away from this tournament starting. And the fact that we have no head coach and the fact that we try and tell people that we take cricket seriously on the island, I think is absolute... Like, we're letting ourselves down here, aren't we? Do you have any idea who's in charge?
So Rumesh Ratnayake is who they are training under. So he's one of the coaches at the High Performance Centre. So basically, I think he's heading things, and then they have, you know, the others like the spin bowling coaches and everyone who is employed at the High Performance Centre is accessible to them.
Okay, so it looks like he might be the person that might end up taking the girls to South Africa. I mean, South Africa is a lovely place, right? There's great food and great wine. And you can go on safari and see lions and tigers. You can't see tigers, but you can see lions at least. Surely there's no end of people who want to actually try and coach his team for the next few months.
I'd go if they let me. I don't have no qualifications, but...
Why not? What should our expectations for this team be? Right, I think they've got to play. They're playing the opening game against South Africa, I think, right? That's a lot of pressure on them.
Yeah, they are playing the first game against South Africa. And in the past, I think maybe 2014, 2016, South Africa was kind of at Sri Lanka's level and those games used to be really competitive. But since then, the teams have kind of gone in opposite directions. South Africa, of course, it's kind of their golden generation, isn't it? Like they've reached semifinals and finals over a number of competitions in the last 5 to 6 years. But Sri Lanka have gone the opposite direction. I don't know. I think it's very difficult to expect them to kind of compete with teams like Australia or England or even India. But they'd be happy if they can turn over teams like West Indies or Pakistan. I'm just trying to look at the schedule so that I'm actually talking about teams that they will face.
Don't be too worried about it. I mean, SLC can't be bothered giving them a head coach. So
yeah, like. So the group includes Bangladesh. So I think Bangladesh, New Zealand, Australia, and South Africa. So it's a tough group. I think they'll be happy if they can win. They'll be expecting to beat Bangladesh. And if they can get one other win, I think they'll be satisfied with that because it's kind of impossible to see them beating a team like Australia. I'm sorry, but it is what it is.
No, right? I think that's fair. I think that Australian women's team is, you know, and I take no pleasure from saying this. I've obviously been brought up in an environment where it's anyone but Australia, right, when it comes to cricket. But that Australian women's team are about as good a professional sports side as you'll get in the world. And they're pretty much a machine that are, sometimes I think they might be actually unbeatable. And that you're kind of going to hope for them to have a bad day, to have a dodgy lasagna the night before and a lot of things to go your way. But yeah, I agree. And it's really, looking at that group, it's just two games that they should really be targeting, the Bangladesh game and the New Zealand game. I think South Africa and Australia probably got a bit too much of them, wouldn't you? But this is Sri Lanka cricket, Estelle. You get to a World Cup, you get to any sort of tournament, and absolutely anything can happen. Because luckily, all of us Sri Lankans were just born with a big game temperament. It doesn't matter whether it's at the cricket or whether it's at work or whatever it is, we're always up for the big occasion, right?
Actually, I was going to say, like, expectations-wise or hope, I hope whatever game Sri Lanka wins, if they do win one, that someone other than Attapattu is the one who gets runs. I mean, obviously, I love seeing her getting runs, but it would be nice to see somebody else supporting her and kind of, you know, putting up a good performance.
Yeah, absolutely. And hopefully, off the back of it, I think the real main target should be to get some of the other girls some franchise contracts around the world, right? Because there's more and more franchise leagues for and opportunities for women springing up. So it'd be great to get some of those girls in and see if, you know, we can improve the game that way, as it were. Estelle, let's leave it there. Obviously, we'll be following every twist and turn of the Sri Lanka women's team in the next few weeks leading up to this tournament.
Thank you for listening to Sri Lanka on 99.94, where we speak cricket every day. Please rate, review and subscribe wherever you enjoy your podcast and tell all your friends and family about us. You can download the 99.94 app and follow us on Twitter. I'm at Mark Machado and Estelle is at Estelle_Vazudev1, as in the number one. Never miss out. Join our 24/7 conversation on social media and follow us at 9994DM. Cricket every day, your way.
Get ready, race fans, because the ultimate NASCAR experience is about to hit the airwaves. Welcome to Pit Pass NASCAR, the podcast that takes you deep into the heart-pounding world of NASCAR racing.
Join us each week as we bring you closer to the NASCAR action with exclusive interviews and all the news and rumors you need with your favorite drivers, team members, and industry insiders.
So whether you're a fan of super speedways, short ovals, or road racing, or you've just watched Talladega Nights, Pit Pass NASCAR is the podcast you've been waiting for.
Get ready to fuel your passion for NASCAR like never before. Subscribe now to Pit Pass NASCAR on your favorite podcast platform or head to evergreenpodcast.com and get ready to join us.
Launching in the fall on Evergreen Podcast Network. Follow us on social media at pitpass_NASCAR to stay up to date with everything you need to know about the podcast.